So what I was going to say is, even if you don't like the way Russell T Davies does his show, and even if you think there are stretches of boring in it, which there totally are, I feel like you have to admit that the last couple of episodes, at least the last like two I've seen, have been much better. You're finding out what's going on, and I feel like a couple of really dramatic subplots have happened, like what happened to the female doctor. That was so out of, I didn't see it
Nor
coming,
did
and
I.
I thought it was so good when it happened.
No, absolutely. And I remember when I watched episode five, I actually thought, why didn't the show just start here? Because it had everything. I mean, it was showing instead of telling. It gave us, it gave the miracle a human face and Gwen's father. You know, the doctor was actually out there investigating and seeing the horror instead of people just talking around it.
The progress that it made, though, in episode four and five, it fell flat on episode six. And Julia, you haven't seen it yet, but literally nothing happens at the except them pretty much sitting in one spot.
So
That's
it's
it.
like the airplane episode again. The airplane
It is.
episode
It
when
is like
nothing
the
really
airplane
happens.
episode in that nothing, yeah, nothing happens
So
plot-wise.
the airplane episode at least had action,
Yeah.
even though they were in a, in a bottleneck. Season six was just terrible.
No,
And
it was definitely a lot of thumb twiddling, like, and Oswald Danes isn't even in it, so.
Well, I look forward to that then.
Yeah.
Yay.
But let's get back to the things we like, because I was going to say another thing I really liked is Jilly Kitzinger, Lauren Ambrose's character. I think she's really fun, and maybe it's because the rest of the show is so flat. Like, she adds a lot of brightness to it, which Jack normally would.
Yeah, I
I
like
think
her
I
a
think
lot.
she's
I think.
I think she's a good
Hello?
character, and I think
Hey.
she's well acted, but I think she's brilliant.
Yeah.
So I was going to say something I really do like about it. It is seeded with some really good one-liners, so I do appreciate that. Most of them are very cheeky John Barrowman one-liners, which I like. And
Yeah.
NPC Andy had his moments, as did Reese.
I
Kind of
don't know, this
appreciated
might
that.
be an unpopular opinion, but I quite like Esther, and I quite like how they've developed her character as
Ooh.
well.
See, I
I
love
think she
Esther.
I'm gonna be on the minority then. I think she is gotten less annoying over time and more sympathetic over time, but God, does she annoy me. I mean, not as much as Rex, but like when I first started watching the show, I was like, oh, this is terrible. We've got like useless and just nails on a chalkboard running around together. Why are they even
That sounds like
friends?
a hit
Like,
show. I think you should have a show called Useless and Nails on Chalkboard.
Yeah, good. There you go.
I don't like her. I mean, I like her better than I did, but I don't like her. Yeah.
I really like her, but why did they bother killing Toshiko if they're going to put the same character back in?
That is so true. So true.
Not only is she like the little tech head, she also has the, pining after someone who doesn't even notice her, and those unrequited love puppy dog eye looks,
Why
that's
does she even like Rex,
No,
though?
I don't know why
Why?
anyone like why did the
She
doctor sleep with
did. I mean,
Rex?
it's the same
Like,
thing.
he's so mean to her.
I
He's
know.
mean to her. Like, grow some self-esteem, Esther. Stop it, you know?
To be fair, I don't think she likes him anymore, though. I feel like they've toned that down the last few episodes, thankfully.
Yeah, they have toned it down. But Owen was terrible to Toshiko, too, until he died. So it's the same character and the same dynamic.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And
And
like,
that's.
I really want a stronger actress in the beginning playing Esther, but I think the actress is doing well with the material she's been given.
I think the actress is doing remarkable considering they have her in 5-inch heels.
Yeah,
And I saw an interview where she begged them to change that. And she's like, how am I supposed to, she can't even walk in them. Person, wardrobe person flat out said, nope, Esther wears 5-inch heels, you're wearing 5-inch heels.
I know. No, you know what? I'm going back, Julie, to what you said about the doctor dying and that being an absolutely moving scene, which it was. I was really irritated, though, because they killed off the one new character I really, really liked. I thought that was cool.
I loved Vera Cruz, and I was really happy to see a strong Latina, a character on television, which you can count on one hand the times that does, who's not a sex bomb. She was a strong Latina, and she wasn't hypersexualized, even though they had her randomly having sex, which made no sense. Now talk about not making sense of the narrative. No chemistry. They have no chemistry. I mean, other than sex in a crisis situation, which is a trope of Torchwood. And dude, the guy has no heart. He has a punctured heart. How exactly does sex work for Rex? Is what I don't understand.
Oh, I didn't even thought about that.
She's having.
I don't want to think about that.
He has blood flow problems.
Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking, no, I'm thinking there's some definitely erectile dysfunction would be a byproduct of his injury.
You know, I'm really uncomfortable with this whole Rex penis talk. I don't even want to think about Rex's penis, so.
I think it's more interesting than the show. Adventures of Rex's penis.
Changing subjects, sorry. I'll tell you something. I liked that I feel like they got rid of too soon. I really liked the tea party lady who said dead is dead and they should all be contained.
Why did they get rid of her? They have a fucking Oscar-nominated actress and they kill her in one episode.
I know.
I know, they should have kept her around.
Yeah, or what about the Thomas Howell?
I know, one episode.
I'm just like, Why did they bring those two characters in that were so interesting and then take them out right in one episode? That was bizarre.
Yeah. Maybe they're bringing her back. Like, no one can die, so maybe she's going to, you know, crawl out of that crushed, twisted metal somehow and come back, but I don't see how.
I don't know, but I hope so, because that was a really interesting plot line and an interesting direction for the show to go.
I'd like to see more.
Seeing her and Oswald compete for airtime, that was really, really thought-provoking. And, you know, if this is a series that's supposed to make us think about the world we live in and what could happen in an extreme crisis situation, which is kind of what Miracle Day was billed as being, that I thought that whole aspect of, you know, this tabloid person, because Oswald Danes, you know, sits in the same family as the Octo Mom. Freak show that people can't get enough of. And then you have, you know, Sarah Palin, who the marijuana character was. Well, I mean, but I would think, but this fictional character actually seemed intelligent, so probably not Sarah Palin. But I liked them. I thought those were good. I wish we had more of that.
Yeah, I agree. I thought they got rid of her way too soon.
So basically, I think what I'm getting out of this entire conversation is that in this program, they have all the tools, they have all the ingredients for something wonderful, like really wonderful actors, really wonderful writers, a huge budget, and it's just sort of, they're not being used.
They've got 4 episodes left that are going to air. Can those 4 episodes make up for things that I really am just disappointed with in the first 6? I don't know, maybe. I mean, I watched episode 1 7 times. I thought it was great. I was irritated that, you know, Behrman wasn't in it more, but I thought I was just so happy that the show was back on. But now I'm just like, okay, it's time for Torchwood again. Yahoo! It's more like I am duty-bound as a fan to watch it, even if I'm going to be disappointed and yell at the TV. I will say something else that I really like about this season, though, is I've never been a Gwen hater, and there are a lot of people in the fandom that are. In fact, in my family, there's a rule in my family that my stepfather is only allowed to call Gwen a whore 3 times per episode. And we actually keep track, and we're like, okay, you used it 3 times.
You used your quota.
I understand Gwen hate, but I've never been a Gwen hater. However, I've never loved her, and there are moments in this season that I have just loved her.
She's awesome this season.
The gun and the other shooting out the window, I was just like, you go. I mean, she was great. And Gwen is more likable for me than she has ever been.
I totally agree with that. Actually, you know what? I hated Gwen in season one of Torchwood, but I think everyone did, which is why they reset her character in season two. Yeah. And then I tolerated her. Children of Earth, I quite liked her, and now you're right, she's awesome.
Yeah, and I think that, I think one of the most important moments of the whole sex interlude in season three, or not season three, in episode three this time, is when, and even though Jane Espenson got all these hate tweets because people thought that Jack was trying to tell Gwen that he wanted her after he had had sex with the bartender, which Jane Espenson said categorically that's not at all what we were going for. The fact that he's calling her and saying, we're going to be okay, it's just the two of us, we're going to be all right. And then she, like, totally doesn't even bother saying goodbye to him.
Yeah.
She pays attention to her family and puts Reese and her kid before Jack.
I love that scene.
That was good.
Huge growth moment for Gwen.
Yeah.
Because, coming off of, you're getting married, oh, well, no one else will have me. I need stability. And even in her wedding episode, when she almost pretty much tells the alien version of Jack that she wants Jack on her own wedding day, she finally is prioritizing, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. No, and I think it helps that Reese is really great, and they've given him more airtime and shown that he's really great, so it's not just her settling. She's settling for a better option.
Wrap it up by talking about what we think is going to happen.
I feel like we haven't really been shown the actual effects very much of the Miracle Day. It's sort of been this very abstract thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it'll just sort of abstractly end.
Yeah. Do you think that people will become mortal again?
I do, and I am looking forward to Rex dropping dead.
I think they want to feel bad
when he dies. Like, I think they're trying to make him be a slow growth, and then you're going to feel kind of bad when he dies. I don't think I'll feel bad when he dies, but I think that's what they're running towards, or what they're aiming for.
And and here's the thing, though. I mean, I don't want to get into why did they kill Yanto discussion, but after killing Yanto and then having Jack kill Steven, how do you top that if you want the jaw-dropping, gut-wrenching moment, which they say they're going for?
Yeah.
Because aside from killing Gwen or killing her baby or killing Reese, that's not going to happen. Because Esther and Rex can both die, and I don't think there will be a single single regular viewer of Torchwood who will care.
No.
It'll be like, oh, they died.
I thought Vera's death was sort of jaw-dropping and shocking, actually.
I definitely did.
I was shocked. I didn't see that coming, and I was shocked, but I'm not going to write any letters over it.
No, true, yeah. You know? Yeah, well, I wouldn't have written any letters over Yanto either. Like, honestly, by the time... I know this is not the popular opinion, but by the time he died, there had been so much other death. Like, he was just another death after a series of very bleak situations in Children of Earth.
Well, that's a podcast for another time. I don't want you... You can own that, because I don't want the hate mail from that comment.
I will own it. Don't worry. I know.
I don't think anything can be worse than, mainlining children. I don't see how the big bad here can be any more horrifying and just make my stomach hurt.
It's true. And in Children of Earth, like, you're right, when Jack kills Steven, that is literally the worst thing I have ever seen on a TV show. That and also when Frobisher killed his children and himself in Children of Earth.
I don't think there's anything worse than killing kids. And they've, I think if the goal of the, I'm trying to really think, what is Russell T. Davies going for? Because I think I understand him. I mean, I don't agree with him, but I think I understand the method to the way he does his narrative. He doesn't write something for it to be pleasurable necessarily. He tries to evoke different emotions, and he gets a lot of pleasure out of making people angry or sad.
Yeah.
he gets an immense amount of pleasure out of that. He writes for himself. He does not write for the audience. So and he wanted to explore every things that are happening every day and amp them up by 100 degrees, and this is what the world would be like if we were in these kind of crisis situations to this degree. And I just cannot see how they're going to resolve this.
Yeah.
And there be any kind of narrative payoff that's going to equal and certainly top Children of Earth.
I'd be happy if it equaled one of the previous Torchwood seasons. Like, I have no expectation. This is not a show on the caliber of Children of Earth, like, in any way. So I wouldn't even hope for that sort of resolution. But I would like... I'm worried, you know, as we've been seeing a lot of the worst of Russell T. Davies, I have a very scary feeling what we're going to get in the finale is the Daleks and the Cybermen and Rose brought back again. So.
Oh, no.
Just think how much worse the show could be if it had Rose in it.
God. Wait, are you telling... I don't even know if I, as a fan, am allowed to continue talking to you. If you just said that Yanto was just another death and you don't like Rose...
I hate Rose.
You like Rose? I don't like Rose either.
You're not real life. You're imaginary. I don't even know. I'm not taking any responsibility.
Oh, you were out there, Rose. Yeah. A lot of people hate Rose.
Yeah, I know. There are a lot of Rose... people who don't like, it's not so much that they didn't like Rose, it was that they did not like the doctor being in a romance.
No, it's not even that. They don't like the doctor loving Rose. Like, Rose is so low tier compared to every other companion he's ever had.
That's a long conversation.
She's dumb and annoying. And I will own
But, you know, she was, you know, she didn't have the cultural capital that her other, the other companions have had, you know. She, you know, she didn't have the life experience or the privileges that, like, Martha had. You know, she didn't have the, you know, the family that Donna had. You know, that's
That doesn't matter. She wasn't on the level of the doctor, like, whether it was her fault or not.
Nobody's on the level of the doctor.
Well, some people come a lot closer than Rose.
I think so. I agree with that. I mean, I think there are a lot of people who have been near the level, at least.
There's a great YouTube video that basically is a critique of the classic doctors, you know, 1 through 8, and the way their asexuality, their total lack of romantic feelings, and then comparing it to Eccleston and Tennant and their portrayals of the Doctor. And it's clearly done by a classic Whovian who hates 9 and 10, but...
No, but, you know. I mean, that's not even true. Like, the Doctor did have sort of many sort of romantic interests in the old series.
But it was done in a very... sci-fi guy audience way. It was not done as a soap.
No, it was not done as a soap. It was done in like a His Girl Friday sort of witty banter kind of way. Which is what I mean. Rose is none of those things. She is not witty. She is not smart. In fact, she is the dumbest character I think I've ever seen on a sci-fi show. And that, well, I'm taking that back because we are talking about Torchwood. But...
Aw, come on now.
No, I'm sorry. Like, I just don't get the appeal, and I've had tons of arguments about this, so I recognize that a lot of people are very fond of her. I just don't understand why. But you're right, I would feel a lot better towards her if they didn't keep saying how awesome she was all the time.
I just want to say this one thing about Rose, is that in the landscape of BBC television, she is a staple character. I mean, you can see characters that are modeled similarly to Rose in a lot of other BBC shows. So it was a wise choice when you're trying to reboot a series that had not been on for 16 years to put a character who's built in a way that fits with other shows that are on the BBC.
I would agree with that. I think, and I don't overly dislike her in the first season, the Christopher Eccleston season. It's more the later seasons where her character became redundant, and you did start to meet other characters who were a lot more compelling, and she continued to... She never grew as a character, which baffled me. She's same whiny character at the end of season 4 that she was in season 1.
You really don't like her.
No, yeah. I don't.
That's okay. Yeah.
And I hate what... Sorry, we're getting way off topic, but I hate that in Martha's season, and I like Martha, but, like, they made her all moony, and the Doctor kept going on about Rose. The Doctor does not think about his past companions. That is not a doctorly quality, and so that irritated me as well.
And I agree with you there, you know, and I think that was, I don't know enough about that to speak intelligently about it, but I do know that, you know, once they're gone, they're gone. And
unless they're Sarah Jane and they're awesome.
Well, but yeah. Oh, and I'm so sad that the actress passed away.
I know. She passed away in the middle of filming. Sorry, Julia, there's yet another Doctor Who spinoff.
No, I've actually seen the episode where she comes back with K-9, and I mean, she seemed okay, but I was super annoyed with her just because of the little robot dog, so...
Oh, I love the robot dog, but that's from the classic show, so...
Yeah, yeah. But the little robot dog had its own show. It had... K-9 was a spinoff.
Yeah.
baffling to me. Just like baffling.
But K-9 is really fun in the old show because he's sort of like the sarcastic fool character, like the Shakespearean sort of fool, always making sarcastic comments at the Doctor. So that's why he was popular. But obviously they don't want to do that in a nostalgia fest like the Sarah Jane episode.
Well, when you just see him coming back, he was just super annoying. It just seemed super, super campy, and it was like, this is obviously from the 70s.
yeah.
This has no place now. Get off my show. Yeah. But
I have a little plug, little side plug for if you're into that I want to just mention to y'all at the very least, and maybe if there's room for it in the podcast.
Sure.
But the actor who played the doctor who categorized Rex in the 5th episode he's a YouTube guy. He has does all these little YouTube shows.
Oh, yeah.
And his name is Brad Bell, and he goes by the stage name of Cheeks. And he is good friends with Jane Espenson.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and the two of them have written a web series that they're shooting right now, and they're going to premiere in September called Husbands. And it's basically, they described it as Mad About You, but it's two guys.
Oh, cool.
And it's gonna be 11 episodes. And basically it's these two guys are in Las Vegas, and in the not too distant future, when in Nevada you can get married if you're gay. And they get married like in one of those Vegas weddings on just like a whim. And then they wake up the next morning married, and they're like, oh, God, we're married. Well, we don't want to act like stupid straight people who don't take marriage seriously, so we're going to now try to make this marriage work, and is kind of the purpose of the show.
That sounds awesome.
Hmm.
Yeah, and she and Jane Espenson is the executive producer. She went to Joss Whedon for a lot of help on how to do a web series, and went to Felicia Day, who did... The Gills, and is in Dr.
Horrible.
Yeah, and so she did some consulting to help with it, too. So they're calling it the first marriage equality sitcom. And so, and he had a couple lines in Torchwood, so there's the connection.
All right, well, I'll definitely check that out. I think she's been tweeting about that quite a lot, actually, and wondering what it was.
Yeah, husbandstheseries.com is what it's going to be on.
Cool. That sounds great. And just a shout out to Jane Espenson as well, who's pretty awesome because she actually answers questions on Twitter if you ask her. So.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah, I know.
Also on Twitter, one other thing. Did you see what John Barrowman did to his partner, Scott?
No.
Recently on Twitter?
And that's it, folks. A lot of randomness and... looping round and round and silliness. And there you have it. So I will be... talking to you again soon.
Okay.
Yeah, I enjoyed doing the podcast, and I hope y'all enjoyed listening to it. And I look forward to doing another. Bye.